At 11 o'clock, this is KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. It appears that Israel and Egypt have removed the final stumbling blocks for an agreement on the Sinai. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. According to CBS correspondents who are covering the Kissinger shuttle mission, a breakthrough came Monday evening. They say that in a few days, Israel and Egypt will sign an agreement to shuffle their forces in the Sinai, and that the pact could mean at least 3 years of peace in that part of the world. There was a touchy moment a few hours ago while Secretary Kissinger was with Israeli officials. Bruno Wassertail reports from Jerusalem.
A diplomatic crisis of sorts developed here in Jerusalem Monday night when Foreign Minister Yigal Alon blurted out the exact terms of a compromise agreement with Egypt on how far Egyptian troops would be able to advance beyond their present positions in the Sinai under the terms of the proposed interim settlement. Secretary Kissinger, standing next to Alon, visibly turned white and openly protested what he felt to be a leak of privileged information. Despite the diplomatic blunder and the prospect of Kissinger's making one or two more shuttles to Alexandria, CBS News has reliably learned that an interim deal between Egypt and Israel is now in the bag. Bruno Wassertail for CBS News in Jerusalem.
In Lisbon, Portugal's military leaders have spared Prime Minister Vasco Gonçalves, at least for now. After a high-level meeting, there was no announcement about Gonçalves leaving office. Despite speculation, the communist-leaning premier is on the way out. Government officials did announce they are suspending activities of the military information and propaganda machine. That unit has been dominated by the communists. More news in a moment.
Easy day, settle back. Pop the cap, rain on the big unexpected beer.
Michelob, it's an unexpected pleasure, and it's been that way ever since Anheuser-Busch rolled out the first Michelob barrel in 1896.
Based on the great taste of Michelob, the unexpected pleasure, the great taste of Michelob, the
unexpected pleasure. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
What's in a green, white, and gold can that can help keep you out of the red? Quaker State Deluxe Motor Oil. Regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil and available more places than ever, Quaker State's the number one selling motor oil. And Deluxe is Quaker State's very best.
Quaker State, your car. You keep it running, yeah. You keep it running.
The wildcat strike by coal miners in the East continues. Mine operators are going to court Tuesday to try to end it. More from George Strains of station WCHS-TV in Charleston, West Virginia.
The operators will ask federal judge K.K. Hall to issue an injunction against picketing at UMW mines. Miners demonstrated in front of the federal courthouse in Charleston Monday morning, then turned the rally into a march through town and a confrontation with police. One miner and one policeman were injured in the Midtown battle, but no arrests were made. The wildcat strike, which began as a local issue over grievance procedures 2 weeks ago, now has become an open battle between the miners and the UMW leadership. The miners say they will not return to work until the 1974 UMW contract is renegotiated. George Strange for CBS News in Charleston, West Virginia.
It's estimated some 40,000 coal miners are now on strike in West Virginia, Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. President Ford arrived back in Washington Monday night, ending his 15-day working vacation in Colorado. Monday, the president stopped for two appearances in Chicago and in Milwaukee. The White House says that on Tuesday afternoon, President Ford will meet with AFL-CIO President George Meany and with Labor Secretary John Dunlop. An effort will be made to work out an agreement for American dock workers to load grain bound for the Soviet Union. Longshoremen are balking at loading the grain, demanding that the federal government first assure that shipments to Russia will not trigger sharply higher food prices at home. CBS News continues after this.
I'm standing at a drug counter looking at hemorrhoid medication labels. This one contains only petroleum jelly, a lubricant that soothes. This one, Preparation H, has more and does more. Preparation H not only brings prompt temporary relief in many cases from occasional pain and itch, but very importantly, Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. Yes, Preparation H goes beyond soothing, has more, and does more. Ointment or suppositories, use only as directed.
Hello, world. Denny Bracken here with the word about tomorrow's cooking thing recipe. Hot. It's a hot one, huh?
It's a hot day. It is a pretty warm recipe, but I'm always suspect when I find the word corn.
corn.
Comes from my musician's day, you know. Rookie, tookie, tookie, tookie.
Corny music, huh? Then there's the corns that ache when it's going to rain.
That is the corn we cook here in the cooking thing, and this is a different one. It's a corn curry, would you believe?
Then there's corn ball. Denny and Mike tomorrow on the cook thing, serving it all on the CBS Radio Net.
In Houston on Tuesday, astronaut Donald Slayton will undergo surgery for examination of a small lesion on his left lung. The 51-year-old astronaut told newsmen last week that doctors have informed him the growth is probably cancerous, but doctors have denied the problem resulted from those toxic fumes Slayton and two other astronauts inhaled during their return to Earth last month following the joint spaceflight with the Soviet Union. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
And this is Radio 97 News. The Oregon Student Association will ask the State Board of Higher Education tomorrow to set up a tuition advisory committee. The association represents students at Portland State University, Portland Community College, and Clatsop Community College. The OSU says students should be allowed to help decide whether a tuition hike is necessary. The board is considering an increase in tuition at its meeting tomorrow here in Portland. Governor Bob Straub will be meeting with citizens and local leaders on the North Oregon coast during the next 2 days. Straub, his wife Pat, press aide Ken Phobes, and a state police aide will leave tomorrow morning for Astoria on the governor's second town hall trip. He also will visit Tillamook, Newport, and Lincoln City. Earlier this year, he toured southern Oregon and will visit central and eastern Oregon in October. A guilty plea to a charge of jumping bail has been entered in federal court in Portland by the wife of a man charged with one of the nation's biggest bank robberies. Dita Forsberg told the court that she failed to make a scheduled court appearance in May because her husband was at large and she wanted to be near him. Floyd Clayton Forsberg is charged with the theft of $1.4 million from a Reno, Nevada bank. Attorney General Lee Johnson says the federal courts should decide how to divide Columbia River fish runs equally between Indians and non-Indians. Johnson gave his opinion in a letter to Alan Kelly, head of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission. He said the commission should develop policy alternatives for accomplishing a federal court order to divide the fish runs, letting the court decide on a course of action. The director of the Oregon Agricultural Department says federal red tape and lack of adequate loans hinder family farming in Oregon. Leonard Kunzman testified today before the U.S. Senate Select Small Business Committee on the topic, Will the Family Farm Survive? He says the combination of federal estate taxes and state inheritance taxes also are a major deterrent to keeping farms in the family. It's 8 minutes past 11 o'clock, and that's 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, Dean of this College of Macabre Knowledge. We are told that we should forgive our enemies, but nowhere are we told that we should forgive our friends. A pity. How easily we recognize those who would destroy us through evil motive. How difficult to perceive those who will ruin us for love. But why is this so surprising? Isn't the road to hell paved with good intentions?
So you see, my dear, we're talking about at least $3 million.
And that's why you hired me. So I could cheat Mr. Gillespie.
Oh, now, cheat is a harsh word.
But it's true. And what will you do with me afterwards?
Why, we shall give you your share.
Won't you just kill me the way you killed everybody else?
We killed the others because they forced our hand. Give us no motive, and we'll let you live.
Aren't you afraid I'll go to the police?
No, because we will have evidence to show that you were the one who poisoned Mrs. Daimler.
But that's a lie. Oh, I don't want any part of this.
Oh, my dear Miss Watson, what are we proposing? Only to make you fabulously wealthy. Why are you being so difficult about it?
Our mystery drama, Person to be Notified, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud, you say you care.
Bush, St. Louis.
People who need people.
Some people fear that we're becoming a nation of mannequins. Nothing but heartless clothes racks, no longer caring about or for each other's needs. They say we become blind to the suffering of the sick and the old. Death to the pleas of the disadvantaged. If it's true, pity us. Because it's not those of us who need help who are the handicapped. It's those of us who won't give it. I'm Nancy Wilson, asking you to have a heart. And write, Volunteer, Washington, D.C., 20013. It'll make you a better human being.
Public service of the Advertising Council and this station.
What is love? That's the oldest question in the world. And why? Because no one has ever been able to answer it to the universal satisfaction. Therefore, we keep asking and asking. There is a young man named James Morton. There is a young lady named Sarah Watson. They have nothing in common. They meet by chance. And if they will fall in love in our story, they will be completely unaware of it until, well, we're still almost an hour away from the answer, so let us begin at the beginning. James Morton is the manager of an employment agency.
Please sit down. Have you filled out the application, Miss...
Miss Watson.
Yes, I see. Sarah Watson. You were previously a secretary for Sterrett Valentine, Inc. Well, why'd you leave?
The company went bankrupt.
Oh, yeah, well, that's, Oh, 2 years of college. That's all to the good. Well, I unfortunately, there's very little, stirring at this particular time.
Are you saying that you have nothing for me?
Well, not at the moment. Perhaps... Well, you know how things are, job-wise. We'll hold your application on file, and if...
Thank you. Goodbye.
One moment. You didn't fill out the application completely.
I'm sure I did.
Well, no. You see the last line where it says person to be notified?
Yes.
Yeah, you left that blank.
I know.
We have a rule at this agency. All forms must be fully filled in.
Fully filled in. Almost sounds like a song.
There's a state regulation to that effect. So would you mind putting down the name of someone?
I can't.
Why not?
Because I don't have anybody.
Oh, well, that's...
That's what?
It's... Well, everybody has somebody to notify.
Well, I don't.
Are you saying you have no family? No friends?
I'm saying there's no one I would care to notify in the event that something happened to me.
I find that difficult to believe.
I am all alone in the world.
Well, no one is that alone.
I am. Goodbye.
But you must fill out the form.
All right. What is your name?
James Morton.
All right, James Morton. There you are.
But you can't put my name down.
Why not?
Well, because it has to be someone who knows you.
Right now, you know more about me than anybody else. You know my name, my age, my address.
But it has to be someone you know.
I know you as well as I know anyone.
But, miss, it has to be someone who means something to you.
No one means more to me than you do. Well, I really need a job, Mr. Morton. I'll take anything. I'll go anywhere. So, if anything at all comes up, please call me, huh? Goodbye.
Miss Watson, just a minute. Did you say you'd go anywhere?
Anywhere at all.
There may be a job.
Okay.
But the reason I didn't think to mention it before is you appear, you know, to be a very attractive young lady.
Yes.
And so, therefore, I'd naturally assume that you'd be unwilling to, I guess the word is, bury yourself on a small private island off the coast of northern Maine.
And why did you make that assumption?
Well, looking at you, I would assume that you would have a very active, busy social life here in the city. And
I could leave today.
One of the qualifications for this job is that the lady must have no, ties or connections.
I'm qualified.
As I understand it, an elderly gentleman is writing a book. He requires a secretary. It would be rather dull.
Most jobs are.
And he wouldn't want a young lady who would be bored after a while and quit.
Well, I couldn't afford to quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, aren't you going to ask how much the job would pay?
I would expect it to pay as much as my last one.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman's attorney is here in town interviewing applicants. I must say he's having difficulty finding someone. His name is Mr. Carberry.
May I ask if your hair is naturally red, Miss Watson?
And may I ask what business it is of yours, Mr. Carberry?
Well, your prospective employer, Mr. Gillespie, is a rather conservative gentleman who becomes upset at changes.
Well?
And you, young ladies of today, you're constantly altering your appearance, and Mr. Gillespie would find that disconcerting.
Well, I shall do nothing to disconcert Mr. Gillespie.
I notice you're wearing a dress, Miss Watson.
Yes. I believe it's the prescribed female attire.
And only at dinner in the evening. In the daytime at Rotherwood, young ladies are expected to wear...
Oh, are there other young ladies?
Oh, no. You'll be the young lady. And Mr. Gillespie is accustomed to seeing young ladies attired in shirt waists and skirts.
Shirt waist?
Well, I believe you would call them blouses.
Yeah, well, I don't think I have any.
Well, then you'll be supplied with some. You see, Miss Watson, Mr. Gillespie lives in the past. He chooses to isolate himself on his estate and create an ambience of a bygone era.
When young ladies wore shirt waists.
Precisely. Now, if you're afraid that might prove dull...
Oh, no, really, I have no objection. I'm not looking for excitement.
One other question. I asked the agency, of course, to screen out of applicants, but one should always double-check for oneself. Have you any relatives?
No.
You're alone in the world?
Completely.
Now, the salary, you will admit, is rather generous. We will pay you $15,000 a year, plus room, board, and expenses. I will require you to sign a 2-year contract. Do you object?
Not at all.
Well, then, it's settled. Can you leave on the 15th?
I can leave sooner.
Oh, well, you'll need the time. Now, here's a check for $1,000. You'll have to purchase a suitable wardrobe.
Oh, what are all those papers?
Well, this is a list of the clothes you should buy to guide you on color and style. And, here are some photographs.
Oh, I don't think any of this is, my taste.
But then again, none of it is to be bought with your money.
I see.
Well, we shall all get along just splendidly. Now, 9 o'clock the morning of the 15th, you'll go to the airport to gate 116. Mr. Gillespie's private plane will be waiting for you.
Well, how does that square with his old-fashioned attitude?
It's the only concession he makes to reality.
You do not like the arroz con pollo, Senor Morton?
Oh, yes, it's fine.
But you have not eaten a bite. I have been watching you. You seem to be a thinker tonight.
Yes, young lady came into my office looking for a job today, and she filled out the usual form in the usual way, until she came to the last line. You know what the last line requires her to state?
No.
It asks her to list the person to be notified in case of, in case of...
I know.
Well, she said she had no one to notify. I couldn't believe it.
Why is it so difficult to believe?
Well, because everybody has someone, a relative, a close friend.
Everyone?
Well, of course, everyone.
Do you, Senor Morton? Do you?
How do you ask such a question?
How do you answer it? You come in here almost every night for dinner. Also, on many a Sunday afternoon, you come alone. So, you do not live with a family. You are not married. It is obvious you are not keeping company with a young lady. So, who is there for you to notify?
Well, my partner.
Why do you say, well, didn't you say my partner?
Well, because outside of the business, we don't know each other. We don't see each other. He's a much older man. We have nothing in common except the fact we seem to be able to, run a profitable business.
If, and I pray it shall never come to pass, you should meet with a misfortune, who would grieve for you? Who would miss you?
Well, now that I think of it, Senor Spinola, if I had to fill out that form, I would put down your name.
Tell me about the young lady. Whose name did she finally put down?
Well, she insisted she didn't know anyone. I said we had to have someone, so she wrote down my name.
Ah, and she fell in love with you.
That is ridiculous.
Why else would she write your name down?
Well, because she had to write down something and I was sitting there.
No, Senor Morton, no. She looked at you and suddenly her heart was lost.
Oh, come on.
She may not know this yet, but that is why she wrote your name.
These are to be your quarters.
Oh,
my, it's lovely. Well, thank you, Mrs. Dingler. I'm sure I'll be very happy here.
Are you?
Of course. I expected a room, but this is the whole suite.
Don't let it go to your head.
Well,
Did they say you were to have dinner in the main hall tonight?
Well, frankly, I...
Now, don't be frank with me, because I'm not going to be frank with you.
Well, what do you... I don't understand.
I'm telling you right off. I'm not on your side.
Side? Well, I don't know anything about sides. I just got here.
When you've got big eyes, and they can get very round. But I don't think it'll help you any more than it helped all the other girls.
What other girl?
Oh, he's coming here now. I can hear his steps in the corridor.
Who's coming?
Pontius Pilate.
Who?
Ah, welcome to Rotherwood, Miss Watson. I see you've met our Mrs. Daimler, probably the best housekeeper in the entire state. Now, will you excuse us, Mrs. Daimler?
Is she going to eat in the Great Hall tonight?
No.
Yeah, I can see why. She isn't ready yet.
I believe that will be all, Mrs. Daimler.
I give her a week.
You are excused, Mrs. Daimler.
She'll get wise to you. The old man will get
Mrs.
wise
Daimler.
To her.
Mrs. Daimler!
All right. I'm leaving.
Well, did you have a pleasant flight?
Yes.
Find your quarters satisfactory?
Oh, very.
We want you to be comfortable.
Will you answer a question, Mr. Carberry?
Well, of course.
Would you tell me just what is going on around here anyhow?
What indeed? Now, you must admit we've given you several basic facts to chew on. For instance, why would they want a girl who has no ties at all? Why are they offering such an attractive salary? Who is Mrs. Daimler? Who's the old man? What sides are there in conflict here? Well, in the first act, you present. In the second, you unfold. And I shall take you into my confidence after your announcer takes you into his. For the next few moments.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Mystery Theater. By now, I'm sure you know that Mrs. Ethelda Barrows of Melrose, Massachusetts, was the second happy winner in our Mystery Theater contest with Walt Disney World. We'll pick the next grand prize winner of an all-expense-paid week for four at Walt Disney World this week, and it could be you. Just imagine the fun of flying first class to Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. You'll stay at the Dutch Inn, enjoy a wonderful vacation week of swimming, golfing, camping, and tennis. You'll receive free tickets to all the attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including the spectacular bicentennial celebration America on Parade. And you take three family members or friends with you. That's the first prize each week. In addition, there are 100 great-looking Mickey Mouse watches for runners-up. So relax and enjoy our drama now, and I'll be back right after the next act to tell you how easy it is to enter.
There's more to poverty than not having money.
It means you're hungry. It seems like everything you do is defeated before you ever start, you know. We can't sit and make a decision. Someone else makes our decisions for us.
And if money is not the whole problem, then it's not the whole solution either. That takes time, ideas, and most important, it takes people working together to determine their own needs, to solve their own problems.
That's right. If people helping people and helping themselves at the same time.
People helping people. People helping themselves. Not the whole answer, but it's a good start.
It certainly proves the point that if you stick together, you get places.
The Campaign for Human Development. The United States Catholic Conference.
Why would a girl, an attractive, desirable girl, cut herself off from all social opportunities and take a job in a mansion on an island off the coast of Maine? Why would her employer insist on a girl whose absence would, in effect, cause no concern to anyone? Well, that's how jobs are filled, no? By employers and employees who fill each other's needs.
Mr. Carberry, tell me. What is going on around here? Why did Mrs. Daimler say I wasn't ready? Ready for what?
Oh, you mustn't listen to what Mrs. Daimler says.
And Mrs. Daimler implied that there was a whole series of girls hired before me.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, none of them proved satisfactory.
Why?
The job will require infinite delicacy and tact.
Describe the job.
You're to help Mr. Gillespie with his book.
When do I meet Mr. Gillespie?
Miss Watson, Mr. Gillespie must be humored at all times.
Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to...
It's part of your job. Now, when you are introduced to him, he will call you Regina.
Why?
Because that's who he will think you are.
Again, why?
Because you look like Regina.
Regina who?
Miss Regina Trumbull.
Tell me, Mr. Carberry... Is that why I was hired?
Yes.
Well, I think I should like to leave at once.
You signed a contract.
I can't be held to that contract. I wasn't aware of all the facts.
You signed a contract to be Mr. Gillespie's secretary. That's the only fact.
Then why must I pose as Miss Regina Trumbull?
To make it possible to perform your duties. You see, Mr. Gillespie could only feel comfortable with Miss Regina Trumbull.
Well, then why not hire Miss Trumbull?
She, died many years ago.
Then how can you make Mr. Gillespie
believe... Oh, Mr. Gillespie has never been able to accept the fact of her death.
You're not up to anything illegal here, are you?
Oh, I assure you. Everything is completely above board.
You got a minute, Frank?
Yeah, sure.
You remember that girl we sent up to Maine?
Huh? Oh, yeah, that was a good commission. A lot of dough for just a secretary.
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
Why should it bother you?
Now, why should they want to pay so high?
Well, it is way up at the end of nowhere.
Well, even so, throw in room, board, expenses, it's worth another $5,000. $20,000 for a secretary?
Well, why is that our business?
Yeah, and why did they insist on a girl who's all alone in the world?
A man's got a right to set up the requirements if he's willing to pay the prices.
Frank, if that girl were to disappear... Who would know about it?
Why would she disappear?
Hey, I'm only speculating.
Well, quite. The girl's gone, isn't she? We're through with her.
That's hardly the way to put it.
No, what other way is there? Look, you and me, we've been partners close to 10 years. And we've been pretty successful. Why? We have nothing to do with each other outside of the office. But for the first time, I'm going to say something personal to you. Get married.
Get married?
You don't have anything against women, do you?
No.
Well, then get married. It's economical. It's practical. And you won't have to make up fantasy stories about every good-looking dame who walks in here. Ah, good morning, Miss Watson.
Good morning.
I'm sure you slept well. The ocean air here is so invigorating.
As a matter of fact, I slept poorly.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Why?
This morning, before breakfast, I went for a walk.
Ah, now, that's an excellent practice.
We're on an island, completely out of sight of the coast.
Of course. Privacy is essential for Mr. Gillespie.
And the only way off is by boat. There are several boats tied up to a dock, and a man is there, and he has a gun.
Oh, yes, that's our Mr. Spencer.
And I told him that I wanted to take a boat out for a while. Why did he refuse me?
Those are his orders.
Why?
You'll understand them in time.
And then, when I returned to the house, I picked up the telephone.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I wanted to call the sheriff and tell him that I'm being held here. But I couldn't get an outside line.
I know. There's only one outside line, and it's locked.
Am I a prisoner?
Oh, of course not.
Then why do you refuse to let me leave?
You will leave at the proper time.
And when will that be?
When the job is finished.
Then how can you say I'm not a prisoner?
Well, my dear young lady, the job has certain conditions.
Why weren't they explained to me?
They were stated in the contract. It's no one's fault but yours if you didn't read it.
And suppose I refuse to perform any services?
That would not be in your best interests. I would advise you to do as you're told.
Or else?
Well, now, why do you insist on proposing all these hypothetical conditions? Well, if we're finished with breakfast, would you care to meet Mr. Gillespie?
It says here on your application that you worked for Sterrett Valentine, Miss Collins.
Until they went busted. You know, I should have seen the handwriting on the wall, but, you know, they offer this profit sharing and pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? It's all down the drain now.
Yeah. Would you, did you know a Miss Sarah Watson?
Sarah? Oh, sure.
You know, what type of person was she?
I don't know. I mean, she worked the next desk to mine for 5 years, but I never got to know her.
Why not?
Well, the rest of the girls and I, we figured it out finally. She was a loner.
A loner?
Well, there are some people in this world, they're just loners. They won't or they can't make friends, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I had to bring her form over to personnel. And you know that place where it says person to be notified?
Yeah.
Well, she left it blank. So I reminded her, and she said she had no family.
Was it true?
Well, yeah, I guess. And she had no friends that anybody knew. I don't know, some people just can't seem to reach out and connect with other people. Maybe it's the way they were brought up, or weren't brought up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And now, Miss Watson, you're to agree with everything Mr. Gillespie says. Do you understand? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Look who's here. Regina.
Yes. You always say you found Regina. You're always wrong.
Oh, no, this time it is Regina, Mr. Gillespie. Look, you see, she's come back.
Is it finally Regina? At last?
Can there be any doubt of it? Can you mistake that brilliant red hair?
Regina. Regina, speak to me.
Oh, sir. Oh.
You mustn't call me sir.
Sir, listen.
Yeah, I realize you're angry with me. And you had reason to be.
Sir, something is going on here, and I don't know what it is.
Regina, you know you mustn't make Mr. Gillespie angry.
I'm not Regina. Sir, this man here is trying to do something to you, which I know must be illegal.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's my Regina, all right. A pretty head filled with all kinds of romantic nonsense. Sit. We'll talk for a moment.
But don't you understand?
I understand everything. Now, you will not leave me again. Promise? Even if I should be mean to you. Promise. Now, you must promise.
Well, go ahead, Regina. Promise.
Regina, I shall be very much displeased. And perhaps I shall not let you have the diamonds after all. Now, you must promise. And well, you shall sit here until you promise.
I'll stay here until you finish the book.
The book? Oh, the book. Well, I know you. You know, I'll never write that book. I delude myself. Well, I caught you. If you stay here till I finish the book, then you'll stay here forever.
Is everybody this evening, Mrs. Daimler?
Do you miss them?
No.
Well, Mr. Carver has got some business to tend to, and the old man's tired, so we aren't going to have a big formal dinner. Listen, I was wrong about you.
Oh?
I heard how you spoke to the old man this afternoon.
I didn't notice
you. Oh, I get to hear everything. You're all right. You aren't in on it.
In on what?
Whatever it is, Carver has got in mind. And the other girls who came here, they must have been willing to go along.
What do you mean by going along?
Look, I've been working here 30 years. Now, maybe, well, 10 years ago, Mr. Carberry gets to be the old man's lawyer. Suddenly, the old man goes crazy. Well, you see him, he's off the deep end.
Well, he's senile, isn't he? He must be well over 80.
He was a young man the day I came to work here. He was no older than me. He can't even be 60 yet.
Oh, but that's hard to believe.
Oh, I figured it out. Carberry's got him on some kind of a drug.
Oh. Well, what are we going to do?
We'll have to get out of here.
And how? The boats are locked up.
I have a key. Here, you take it.
What are we going to do?
Now, we'll go to the town, try to talk to the sheriff.
Will he believe us?
I got a bottle of the drugs that Carberry's been using. He'll have to believe us.
Why did you wait so long?
I wasn't sure until just now. Now, look, we'll wait till... Oh, about midnight. Then you come by my room, and we'll head for the dock.
Yes. Yes, you're Regina. I'm sure of it. Do you remember what I said about the diamonds?
The diamonds?
You don't remember the diamonds? How could you forget the diamonds? After all, they are your diamonds.
Oh, the diamonds, yes, Mr. Gillespie.
Oh, it isn't right for you to call me Mr. Gillespie. After what we've been to each other, I should think Edmund would be, proper.
Edmund?
I was wrong about the diamonds. I said $1 million invested in diamonds would be dead money. Put it in the market. Well, as it happened, the diamonds have tripled in value. Just the times, I suppose. Regina, will you breakfast with me tomorrow, and I'll explain more about the diamonds. I'm so tired now. Just want to get to sleep.
Mrs. Daimler, are you ready? Mrs. Daimler? Oh! Mrs. Daimler!
Are you all right?
Obviously, my dear.
What?
She is not all right.
What are you doing here?
I think poor Mrs. Daimler is dead.
I think poor Mrs. Daimler is dead. Notice how Mr. Carberry phrases these things. Well, obviously she's dead. The question is how and by whose hand. Well, you can expect the unusual to happen on remote islands. Other things are also scheduled to happen when I return to you in just a few moments with Act Three.
I'm High Brown, director of the Mystery Theater, with news of a wonderful contest we in Walt Disney World have for you. Winners will get an all-expense-paid 7-day, 6-night vacation trip for four to the vacation kingdom of the world near Orlando, Florida. You'll fly first class, stay in the Dutch Inn at Lake Buena Vista, and enjoy all the fun-filled Disney attractions free, including Disney's bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. To enter, send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York, 10019. A winner will be drawn at random each week for 4 weeks. And there are 400 Mickey Mouse watches also. Once again, just send your name and address to Mystery Theater, P.O. Box 1, Radio City Station, New York. Contest void where prohibited. Employees of CBS and Walt Disney not eligible. Entries received by September 3 are eligible for at least one drawing. Winners will be notified by mail.
You are in Brazil, northeastern Brazil. Far from tropical Amazon jungles and far from the bright lights of big cities. This area is often stricken by drought. Life is hard. And childhood diseases such as measles are sometimes fatal. A child suffering from malnutrition or dehydration cannot fight disease. But hope lives in Brazil. Project Hope, introducing new ideas in healthcare, such as well baby clinics. In a pilot program operated jointly by Project Hope and Brazilian doctors and nurses, a group of 40 babies has undergone monthly checkups for a year. Their mothers were instructed on good hygiene, nutrition, and immunization. All of these babies lived, while typically 5 of the 40 would have died during the first year. Hope lives because you help. Keep it up. Write Project Hope, Room A, Washington, D.C.
Our Miss Sarah Watson finds herself virtually alone on a small island off the lonely coast of northern Maine. And the truth, she feels like an island, isolated and alone. But wait, isn't it written that no man is an island? That there is a tie that binds all of us together? Yes, it's written. However, how about those people like Sarah Watson, who have no ties at all, no bonds to anyone? Well, that's what she thinks, but you never know.
So she's dead. Mrs. Daimler is dead. I was talking to her earlier this evening. How could she...
It must have been the heart attack.
How could a woman with a cardiac condition perform all her duties as a housekeeper?
Ah, then, she didn't die of a heart attack.
Well, what did she die of?
Well, perhaps she died of a very dangerous disease, which I hope is not contagious.
What disease?
Indiscretion.
Well, if it was murder, I'm sure that you killed her.
Are you?
And you're going to have to call a doctor.
Why?
To sign the death certificate.
Who died?
Who died? Mrs. Daimler.
Oh, no, my dear, she didn't. She left here last week to live with relatives in the Far West.
But that's ridiculous.
Oh, I can prove it. Here's a copy of the local paper dated last week. You see this social note right here? You can read it.
Mrs. Augusta Daimler, for many years housekeeper to Mr. Edmund Gillespie on Rotherwood Island, has announced her retirement. She is leaving to live with relatives in Oregon. But that...
It had become obvious a little while ago that Mrs. Daimler might become a problem. So last week we took the precaution of, well, should we say, being prepared.
Oh, you won't get away with this.
Get away with what?
Now, why don't you get some rest, Miss Watson? You have a busy day tomorrow, and... Oh, yes, by the by, may I have the key?
What key?
To the book chain.
Let me see. I think I'll have, what do you suggest this evening?
Nothing.
Nothing?
It is a sin to waste good food. For the past weeks, you order, I serve. You do not touch, you are in love.
I have a feeling that she's in danger.
If you have a feeling, then it is true.
But I don't even know what to do about it.
You have no choice. You must save her. You have grounds for suspicion?
Yes.
And you sit here while your loved one is in peril.
Who says she's my loved one?
Why do you keep thinking about her? Now, I shall feed you enough to arm you for your journey.
But she's 2,000 miles from here.
Ah, love laughs at distance. And see, you are smiling already. Go to her. She wrote your name. She calls you. She needs you.
A dazzling morning, isn't it, Miss Watson?
I watched you and Mr. Spencer and those other men. And I saw you bury Mrs. Daimler.
At the risk of telling an old joke at a serious moment, we had to. Dead, you know.
Now, what are your plans for me?
Oh, well, that depends on you.
What am I supposed to do?
Just have Mr. Gillespie go on thinking you're Regina.
And what about the diamonds?
The diamonds. Well, you see, Mr. Gillespie was Regina Trumbull's guardian. Her father had entrusted him with $1 million worth of diamonds to be held for her until her 25th birthday. He fell in love with her, but she died in an accident. He went to pieces after that. He shut himself up in this island and, well, as you can see, he lost his mind.
Yes. And I'll tell you what else I see. I see that after a while, he started to get his mind back. But then you came into the picture. And you are making sure that he doesn't recover his sanity.
Why would I do that?
Because if you could get him to believe that I am Regina, he'll give me those diamonds. And then you can get your hands on them.
I must say, Miss Watson, you have an incisive mind.
The diamonds are hidden here somewhere. He won't tell you. And you can't force it out of him. So that's why you need me.
Oh, yes, you are vital.
Vital, meaning alive. How do you know you can trust me?
We would make it worth your while. We would give you a considerable sum of money.
Why should you do that? Why not just kill me?
Miss Watson, I am not in the murder business. I only will commit a crime when I have absolutely no alternative.
And how do I know that I can trust you?
You have no other route to travel.
So, you think there's something going on over to Rutherford Island?
That's exactly what I think, Sheriff.
I must say, you don't give much evidence. Not at all, tell the truth.
Sheriff, I traveled almost 2,000 miles.
On a hunch. Well, what do you want me to do?
Find out if she's all right.
How?
Well, search the place.
Son, you've been watching too many movies. You don't trespass all over a man's property and turn his establishment inside out unless you got a search warrant.
Mm, get a warrant.
Tell you what I'll do. Agatha, connect me with Rutherford Island, please. Thank you.
Well, what'll you accomplish by that?
We'll find out where we stand. Hello. Yes, sir. This is Sheriff Tate, to whom I'm speaking. Mr. Carberry?
He's the one who interviewed her in New York.
Do you have a Miss Sarah Watson working for you? Uh-huh. Yes.
Does he deny it?
I see. No. Just a routine. Nothing at all. I'm much obliged, thank you. She ain't there.
She has to be there.
She left.
How could she leave? She had a 2-year contract.
She decided she didn't like the place. Too lonely.
When does he say she left?
2 days after she arrived.
Now, that's impossible. We would have known about it.
Why? She quit, that's all. And she goes on to find another job.
How do I know this all ain't a yarn on your part?
Why would I lie?
It's in style today. How do I know you're who you say you are?
But here is my card, and here's a copy of the contract that she signed.
Well, son, you let me study this here document.
But meanwhile, she can
Meanwhile, it's dark. And if I do decide to go to the island, I can't do it till morning.
But... Okay, forget it. Thank you very much.
Who is it?
Shh. No, don't turn on the light.
Who is it?
It's me, James Morton.
James Morton?
The person you notified in case of trouble. Well, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Oh, James Morton.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I am in trouble.
Here I am.
How did you know?
I got a boat. I waited till dark, then I sneaked ashore, made it to the house. I watched you through the window, and I figured out which room was yours. Now, we are going to get out of here.
James Morton. Oh, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Let's hurry.
It's a miracle. That's what it is. A miracle never happened to me before.
Well, me neither. Well, it's about time.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Claudia. Don't move and don't talk. Mr. Spencer is an excellent shot, and at this range, how can he miss?
I think you're finished, Mr. Carberry. That's the sheriff.
Why would the sheriff come here?
Because I spoke to him earlier.
Ah. Well, then he won't find you here.
He'll find my boat.
No, Mr. Spencer already has it well hidden. And don't scream, Miss Watson. Mr. Spencer would shoot you immediately. Now, Mr. Spencer, suppose I see who was at the door. You have your instructions. Why, no, Sheriff. I haven't seen the young man.
Funny. I could have sworn he'd have come out here.
Oh, for what reason?
I wouldn't know. You say this Miss Watson left right after she got here?
That's right. We were completely incompatible.
How's Mr. Gillespie these days? We never see him.
Oh, poor old man. Still completely senile.
Yeah. Well,
is there, anything else I can do for you?
Yeah. You can produce both the girl and Mr. Morton.
Oh, wait a minute, Sheriff. I told
Lem
you
Lem Powers told me the young fellow rented a boat off of him just a while back and took off headed this way.
Well, I assure you, he never got here.
Oh, he got here, and the girl's here, too.
No!
There ain't no one here, huh? Okay. No. Break it up now. Break it up.
That man... He tried to shoot me.
Where? Looks like Mr. Spencer won't be able to say anything for a while.
I jumped at him. He fired.
They were going to kill
him. I know. But it's all going to be fine.
Mr. Carberry, where's Mr.?
He's probably figuring he can make a run for it. But he's got nowhere to go. I left a deputy on the dock.
What made you come here, Sheriff?
Well, it sounded like a wild yarn. But then I read that contract you left me. The one your agency signed with Mr. Carberry.
Well, the contract, all it defined was what Mr. Carberry owed us in the event we filled his job. It's a standard agreement.
According to the agreement, he had to pay you 6% of $15,000. That's $900. If for any reason the applicant lasts less than a week, you have to refund him 2/3 of that amount. Now, if Miss Watson left what he claimed after a couple of days, you'd have owed him $600.
Well, that's right.
You never mentioned he claimed the money. And since you didn't, you assumed she was still here. Now, I don't know how it is down your part of the country, but there ain't one single solitary living soul up in these parts that lets $600 sit there whistling. Well, I'll clear things up downstairs and give you a chance to talk to your girl.
My girl?
Belongs to you, don't she?
Well,
Of course I do. Why else would I have named him as the person to be notified?
Department of Loose Ends. An autopsy was performed on Mrs. Damer. It was established that she was poisoned. Mr. Carberry and company will stand trial for that one. Mr. Gillespie was placed in a hospital where, with good care and treatment, he has a chance to recover all his faculties. At this writing, he still cannot remember where the diamonds are hidden. If I have to tell you what happened to Sarah and James, then you don't have an ounce of romance in your soul, and I give up.
but only for a few moments.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a girl, I had certain aspirations for myself that were not quite the same as the aspirations that others had for me. Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be president.
That's nice, honey.
Of what?
The United States.
Don't be ridiculous, dear. The best you can hope for is first lady.
Even when I got older, things weren't much better. Dad, I want to go to law school and have my own practice.
But, dear, wouldn't you rather go to charm school and have a big wedding?
But today, a woman can do anything a man can. Take the car I just bought, a Buick Century. Not cute, but sporty and good-looking. The kind of car only men are supposed to know about. When I told my father the Century was the only American-made mid-sized car with a V6 engine, he was surprised. When I told him about the great deal I got on the Century, he was impressed and said I would make somebody a good wife. Then when I told him I was running for Congress, he bit off the arm of his chair.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Actually, what we were talking about was not jobs or intrigue or murder, even though they were prominently featured. Our theme was loneliness, and it was a tale of so many people who really have no anchor to love and security in our world. And if you are one of the fortunates, if you can fill the space that says person to be notified, then you have the best of this world. If, on the other hand, you really can't fill that space, then go out and change that situation. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Russell Horton, Bryna Rayburn, Ian Martin, and Gilbert Mack. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It can't be! I'm dead!
No, Mildred. No, I'm not dead.
No pulse, no heartbeat.
Millie, can't you hear me? I'm not dead. I can see myself on the couch.
Get
see you kneeling beside me crying. But, sweetheart, I'm not dead.
I must call Dr. Duckman. Yes, call Junius.
Millie, no, don't call Duckman. I'll be all right again in a second or so. Just as soon as my spirit returns to my body.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Miss Bendel Schaefer, just a reminder, you'll be able to hear my exciting adventures here on KOIN beginning this week. Also, I'd like to point out...
This is KOIN, Portland.
CBS News. Secretary of State Kissinger today will continue to work on the details of a new interim peace settlement in the Sinai. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Kissinger is scheduled to meet with Israeli leaders this morning, then fly to Alexandria this afternoon for talks with Egyptian President Sadat. It appears that tentative agreement on a settlement has been reached, as we hear from Bernard Kalb in Jerusalem.
The feeling exists on the highest levels of the Israeli government that there may be an agreement reached with Egypt, authoritative sources suggesting Friday as the earliest day possible for such an announcement. The two sides, through Secretary Kissinger's shuttle diplomacy, have now exchanged respective drafts of the agreement. Coming up with precise language that is acceptable to both countries now has priority status. There is no major issue as of now, according to these sources, that seems insurmountable. although discussions apparently are still going on in some areas, such as political concessions by Egypt. A solution has apparently been found to Egypt's demand for a limited advance into the territory to be relinquished by the Israelis in the Sinai. The Israelis have reportedly agreed to permit the Egyptians to have a symbolic foothold just west and at the very bottom of the current UN buffer zone along the Gulf of Suez. Also, agreement is reported to have been reached on maintaining four early warning stations in the Sinai passes. One manned by Israelis with a token number of U.S. civilians, one manned by Egyptians, again with such a token U.S. group, and two such small listening posts manned by Americans. Discussions are still continuing about the possibility of two more posts. To listen to well-placed Israelis, barring an unexpected hitch, it's all over except for the initialing. Bernard Kalb, CBS News, Jerusalem.
I'll have more news in a minute.
You could be a winner in the exciting new contest from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And what do you win? You may win one of 16 all-expense-paid weeks in Walt Disney World near Orlando, Florida. 7 days and six nights of luxurious accommodations, all meals, free tickets to all the attractions in the Magic Kingdom, including Disney's spectacular bicentennial celebration, America on Parade. Plus swimming, golf, tennis, and much more in the vacation kingdom of the world. Learn how to enter during our Mystery Theater broadcast each day on this station. Winners will be selected in weekly drawings during August, and each winner takes along three family members or friends, flying first class to Walt Disney World. 400 Mickey Mouse watches will be given away, too. Get in on the fun. Check this station for airtime and get contest rules during CBS Radio Mystery Theater each day on this station. Promotional consideration by Walt Disney World.
AFL-CIO President George Meany will meet today in Washington with Labor Secretary John Dunlop and later with President Ford. They will discuss East and Gulf Coast longshoremen's refusal to load grain bound for the Soviet Union. Meany has said the boycott will continue until Mr. Ford gives assurances that domestic food prices will not skyrocket because of the grain sales. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butt says that more grain sales are in the offing.
In our initial export calculations, we had estimated an offtake for the Russians of approximately 10 million tons. We've sold them 9.8 million tons. We're just beginning to move that right now. I anticipate there will be some more sales, as the president himself has said. But they'll be orderly, evened out, not bunched up, and will occur after we are absolutely positive we have our feed grain crop in place.
Butts made those remarks at a news conference in Milwaukee. Earlier, he appeared at a regional White House conference on the economy, which President Ford also attended. Mr. Ford is now back in Washington after a two-week vacation in Colorado. Cleveland Mayor Ralph Perk is asking that the city be declared a disaster area following Sunday's flash flooding in which four people were killed. Power has been restored to most homes, but streets and highways are still littered with debris, and the cleanup is far from over. More news coming up.
Come on over for a drink.
What is a drink? Where is it written that a drink is not a drink unless it contains a slug of alcohol? Isn't lemonade a drink?
Aren't you drinking?
Isn't coffee, fruit juice? Tea, water, soft drinks, are those non-drinks?
Let's get together for a drink.
Is it so uncool to drink something that can't change your perception of reality?
Let me buy you a drink.
The strange idea that only drinks containing alcohol are real drinks is so built into our society, it has actually become part of our language.
I'll drink to that.
And maybe that's part of our national drinking problem. What is a drink? Think about it. This message is brought to you as a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Would you like a drink?
I wonder what he meant by that.
There was more anti-communist violence last night in Portugal. One person was reported killed and as many as 12 people hurt when troops opened fire to break up a crowd that was attacking Communist Party headquarters in the northern town of Leiria. In Lisbon, the country's military leaders ended an emergency session without reaching a decision about the fate of pro-communist Premier Gonçalves. Some members of the military cabinet and a growing number of Portuguese citizens are demanding Gonçalves' removal from office. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.